This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuture, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Radio program at AOL.com is your destination for questions, whatever's on your mind, whether it's about high-tech conventional medicine breakthroughs or whether it's about natural medicine. That's what we handle here on Intelligent Medicine, right, Layla?
Yep. How are you doing, Dr. Hoffman?
Good, good. Sort of adjusting to the après Labor Day.
Yeah.
Cooler temperatures here in the Northeast.
Feels good. Great sleeping weather.
Yeah, it is.
Nice to have the windows open.
I opened the window. The fan brought the cool air into the room, and it was nice and cozy.
Yeah.
Although it's going to give me a little bit of a challenge because I have, I'm going to break in my cold weather wetsuit. This weekend.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm going to really give it the acid test. The water probably is not that cold. It's just the air temperature is going to be a little cooler this weekend.
I've seen people swimming, through September.
The problem is that I wanted to arrange to swim at a community pool in New Jersey where I sometimes go on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be I would just, walk in because I have a Y membership in the city and I would flash my key fob and I would say, I have a reciprocal membership because it covers all the Ys. I even, when I would go to California, I would say, here it is. And they would say, fine, we'll give you a day pass as a reciprocal arrangement. No longer. No longer. It's like every Y for themselves. And So the other thing is, as I was about to stride right in there and this guy with a mask, excuse me, sir. And I was going to go in the, inside. He goes, well, let me just he has like a clipboard. Let me get some information about you and let me screen your temperature. And, it was like, have you been sick? Have you been in touch with anybody else? Have you been out of state? I lied because I was in New Jersey from New York. I consider New Jersey, New York like one state.
Yeah, tri-state.
Hello. Yeah, right. So, I just came over the bridge, and so he says, yeah, go inside. And then, what happens is there's no dressing rooms.
Hmm.
So I didn't bring a towel.
Oh.
And by the way, you have to reserve a lane. So so I arrived at like 9:30.
You weren't bowling, for crying out loud.
I know, but it's like that. And so they said the next available lane is at 11, unless you want to come back at 3. And so I said, well, I don't have a towel. Was it? What you do is you and there are all these people waiting outside to go in to swim. And so they were the regulars. They knew the routine. They apparently figured it out. And what you do is you show up with your bathing suit on and you go in and then you stand on a circle until they tell you it's okay to go in the pool.
Right. The socially distanced circle, marker.
Right. Your marker.
Stand
then you have
your
own lane and you can swim for 45 minutes, which is an ample amount of time to swim.
Yeah.
And, then you have to go out wet.
to your car.
Which is not too bad, in September, but it's going to be kind of wild in February,
You're not a polar bear?
Yeah, so, it's the whole thing, it was a little daunting, and I said, thank you very much. I just, it was a recon mission, I just saw what it would entail to swim inside. So I'm just going to swim outside this weekend.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So, meantime, I'm relegated to running and, working out on some equipment in the garage.
That's great.
Yeah.
Equipment in the garage is the first gym.
Well, the other thing I might put my bike up on rollers. That's something that if we're speaking to people in Arizona, California, they're going to say, what are you talking about? You know, it's a year-round riding out here. But in the Northeast, there's times where it is, you know, unless you're a stalwart rider, you know, which I admit I'm not, you know, temperatures below, you know, 40 degrees, it's a little frosty on the bike.
Yeah.
And, you know, I might just want to stay, you know, put my bike up on rollers and it gives you like some resistance and you can actually,
That's a great idea.
You can use the various programs. You can put your computer up on a table and you can, or you can watch a movie or something, or, you know, you can watch, you know, cable TV or something. You know, there's a workaround even amid the pandemic. How about yourself? You're doing yoga at home.
I've been doing anything at home.
You're kind of low maintenance when it comes to exercise anyway, right?
Yeah. It's basically the stuff. I haven't had a gym membership in I don't remember how long.
Okay.
So that's,
you have
that's that.
You have a workaround.
Yeah.
In the news this week, Anthony Fauci, controversial figure.
Yes.
Was caught during an interview stating that he takes vitamin D and C supplements and that they can, quote, lessen your susceptibility to infection. Oh, my goodness.
What
is the world coming to?
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah,
he's leaving his tribe of pharma or vaccination.
Yeah, you know, so he's not suggesting that people relinquish modern medicine and, you know, simply take vitamins and supplements. We won't go so far as to say that. On the other hand, he's acknowledging the benefits of certain key nutrients.
Yeah. Vitamin D, vitamin
and,
C.
You know, he's reading the studies. I didn't realize that he graduated first in his class in medical school, which for me, you know, offers some cred. You know, he gets some street cred for graduating first in his class.
He's a researcher, though, right? Is he a medical doctor?
He's not an on-the-line clinician. You know, he probably did during his training, but then he went right into research. And in effect, he's a bit of a politician, you know, because he's... How
30 years at NIH will make you a politician.
How do you survive the political cross currents?
Oh, my goodness.
Unless you're an adept and adroit politician. So, you know, they say that you know, it's like the state plant of certain states is something, you know, like the oak tree or the maple tree. They say that the state plant of the politician is the hedge.
Ah, yeah, that's good.
They also say that about radiologists. You know, it's like, well, it could be this, it could be that. You know, it's like
depends on interpretation.
It's like, yeah, it's like here's the list of possibilities. We're not going to say.
Yeah.
But so he hedges his bets when it comes to, and you know, if you want to hedge your bets, yeah, take some vitamin C and D and zinc and for it.
Go for that, yeah.
So anyway, that certainly created a firestorm of excitement among the natural integrative community, so used to being put down and abused.
Used to being maligned for, exactly.
Exactly.
You know? So... Wow. Anyhow, so we have, we've got a great question from Leanna. Hello, I'm inquiring about setting up an appointment with Dr. Hoffman. Can you please let me know if he is still seeing patients or if he refers out to anyone?
Should we make an exception for that person?
Sure.
You see normally, I spend, you know, 18 hours a day preparing for these podcasts.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I have any time to
see patients.
The reason that you're reading this, I mean, admit it, is that there is a widespread misconception that because we're so magnified by these podcasts, that it seems inconceivable
this is all we do.
That we could be doing anything else.
Right.
But actually, you know, our opinions and the views expressed on this broadcast are based on clinical experience, which we continue to do.
Yep.
So let's dispel this misconception that we're somehow aloof from general practice. I mean, it's sort of like asking, you know, look, Dr. Oz, can I see you as a patient? And the answer is, sorry, I don't see patients anymore. He doesn't have a...
He's not a thoracic surgeon anymore?
You know, he might squeeze in an occasional surgery, you know?
Okay.
Like, in fact, I, as of about 10 or 12 years ago, I actually have a relative who was operated on by Dr. Oz.
Oh, wow.
And he had a very good... he had a coronary artery bypass surgery, and he had a very good outcome.
Good.
So he's got his chops... But
sure.
He is fully, you know, he's an example of somebody who's fully in media.
Yeah.
Another example might be Andrew Weil. You know,
Weil,
he presides over a program at the Andrew Weil.
Yes, in Arizona.
It's a center named after him.
Yeah.
He endowed it, and it's the Center for Integrative Medicine. And he's, an academic physician and a media figure, and he doesn't, have an office where he sees patients. But we see patients.
Yes,
in fact, we saw
patients
today.
Right. Leanna, you can call the office. You'll speak to Grimaldi. That's 212-779-1744. I'll repeat it, 212-779-1744. You can make an appointment with Dr. Hoffman.
And what's interesting is, there are certain constraints because I think, I'm in Manhattan. Some people are fearful of going into Manhattan because, it's like, whatever. They have this aura that Manhattan is descended into chaos and civil disorder.
Well, it kind of has.
It kind of has. But really, it's such a big place that, you read about it.
Right.
But we don't experience it one-on-one. So it is safe. It's a little daunting to use public transportation. A lot of people prefer not to do it. So...
Yeah,
we're doing a lot of telemedicine.
Yes.
For example, we had a... Well, how old is that gentleman? He's 78, who came in today. He's very fit.
He came in from New Jersey.
And I said, how did you drive? I used the public transportation.
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
So he's, he's got a really good attitude. And, he has some medical problems. But, it's doable. But
we're
doing a lot of telemedicine. And because of the unprecedented crisis... we've broken precedent. Usually, first visits, we don't allow people to do via telemedicine.
Right.
During the COVID-19, the rules have been somewhat relaxed so that we can initiate contact with patients with the proviso that eventually they'll come in because
they'll
we really need to do our due diligence and do a physical exam and eyeball the patient. Because, you lose a little bit in terms of not being able to touch and examine a patient. I mean, I've diagnosed thyroid cancer. I've diagnosed, various
hands-on
health
is important.
Problems, by touching patients.
And sure.
I've diagnosed cardiac arrhythmias. Like, did you know that you're having irregular heart rate? I'll go see a cardiologist. That is something that, there are devices that can be used, online, where the patient puts a scope to their chest and then it's transmitted somehow to you. But only a very few cardiologists and university centers are using the telemedicine to that extent.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually they may have some kind of Star Trek probe or something where it's
like,
put the probe on your chest.
And we'll beam you up, Scotty.
Yeah, and exactly. We'll do, like that, whatever Dr. Bones had in his toolkit,
Right.
It would be like this little, I forget what they call it, but it's like this little analyzer in would tell you exactly what was wrong with the patient.
Something
right.
like that.
Yeah.
I want that sound on my phone. That's what I
want. You could pretend.
So, Leanna, do call the office to make an appointment. Again, that's 212-779-1744. You'll speak to Grimaldi, and she'll set you up.
And
okay.
Yeah, and I got to say, the other thing is, I will mention this once and, get the message across, but... There's a website, you get information there. But one thing I don't like to do is I don't like to hawk my wares here, come on down. This podcast is not designed to entrap you or ensnare you.
Right.
It's not for the
sole purpose of drumming up business.
Exactly.
It's to share information that we're compelled to share with you.
Exactly.
Right.
And incidentally, we're entering our 33rd year. We just surpassed the milestone because 2020, 32 years from the inception, continuous broadcast of Intelligent Medicine.
Wow.
So this will be our 33rd year. We haven't completed it.
Yeah.
It's like...
Terrific.
It's like on your 40th birthday, you're embarking on your 41st year.
Right. Know. Right. Okay. We've got an email. Oh, here from Michael. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Many non-gluten foods have rice flour as one of their main ingredients. Is this problematic because of the high amount of arsenic found to be in rice and its derivatives? Well, first of all, let me just say, and I've said this millions of times before, nature's argument for variety in the diet so that you're not eating the same thing over and over and over again, it reduces your toxic burden. Mm-hmm. So anybody who is gluten-free is heavily reliant on gluten-free breads, flours, things of that nature. A lot of these are made from rice.
Rice pasta.
Right. Mm-hmm. So this chronic exposure to rice can become problematic,
right.
But arsenic is mainly found more in brown rice mm-hmm. than white rice.
That's the paradox, because some people think, oh, you know, brown rice is so much healthier than white rice. And
sure.
It is, because
the fiber and everything, yeah.
It has more vitamins.
Yes.
But it
more
also
more nutrition,
happens,
but it's also got arsenic.
It's concentrates the arsenic
right.
even more.
So for those of you who are having brown rice with your chicken or a whole lot of brown rice instead of white, that is one exposure to arsenic. Mm-hmm. There are many more. If you're eating commercial chicken, meaning non-organic chicken, mm-hmm. their feed is sprayed with arsenic
right.
as an insecticide.
Right.
So you're getting arsenic via the chicken.
Right. There's environmental arsenic.
That's true.
Some parts of the world that are very high in arsenic naturally, like mm-hmm. certain parts of India, I believe, have
yeah.
arsenic in the soil, but also contamination. Mm-hmm. One of the ways that that got into the system, I mean, it gets in the system via, airborne pollution.
Yes.
From coal-fired plants. That's
right.
one of the reasons why that, you know, addition to global warming, you know, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
But there is pollution.
There
from
is air
that.
Pollution, right.
Yeah, and the arsenic descends on the landscape and then it's in the soil. And mm-hmm. Rice is a sponge.
Yes, it pulls it up.
It is, there are certain plants which are bioaccumulators.
Yeah.
And they actually, in a way, that's good because, you know, you can actually clean the soil.
Yes.
And, you know, if you throw out the weed
right.
you know, or burn the weed or something. Well, you don't want to burn the weed because it's going to put it in the atmosphere.
Exactly.
But,
sunflower is another plant
put
that
it into
pulls
a landfill or something.
Arsenic. You know, exactly.
Toxic,
exactly.
You know,
yeah.
dump or something.
So there are certain plants. You'll find small amounts of arsenic in apple juice, possibly orange juice, depending on if it's been imported to the United States from mm-hmm. somewhere. There are lots of, we're a lot more exposed to
right.
these heavy metals
so
than we know.
What are the consequences of arsenic? Well,
it's a neurotoxin.
Everybody has seen the movie or read the book Arsenic and Old Lace. It's
yeah.
a way to poison people.
Mm.
But short of poisoning you and killing you, arsenic will cause a variety of health problems. It's carcinogenic.
Yeah.
It can cause skin problems. It can also increase the risk of cardiovascular disease, kidney disease,
yeah.
and diabetes.
Mm.
And it's actually, I did an interview with what's the guy from Bastyr, the guy who...
Pizzorno. Yes,
beautiful.
Dr. Pizzorno.
Yeah, Dr. Pizzorno,
mm-hmm.
Who has written the definitive book on environmental toxins.
Yeah.
And arsenic, he estimates, he did some really good studies on this, a very high percentage of the diabetes in this country, the insulin resistance,
yes.
is attributable to higher than optimal levels of arsenic, short of that, right. which can kill you.
Yeah.
So you may not know. We do test people sometimes for heavy metals just to see, you know, if somebody
exactly.
says, I've been eating tons of rice, I'd like to know if I have arsenic. We can
yeah.
test you for that.
Yeah.
The one caveat on that is there's two types of arsenic. There's inorganic
mm-hmm.
and there's organic.
Yeah.
And as with food, organic is better than inorganic.
Yes.
Inorganic is more toxic, but you might think that the type from rice is going to be organic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's organic rice. So I'm going to get organic arsenic? No. It's inorganic and it's worse for you.
That's good to point that out.
Right. By the way, organic doesn't prevent arsenic.
Yeah. No.
Organic prevents pesticides and
sure.
glyphosate and things like that.
But if there's arsenic in the soil,
yeah.
that brown rice plant is
yeah.
pulling it out.
Exactly. So
yeah.
that's the inorganic. That's actually worse for you. There's also a lot of arsenic in crab, and shellfish.
Shellfish, yes.
And so what we tell
patients... That's more the organic.
It's the organic.
Yeah, yeah, it's the organic
and
type.
And that is less bad because it seems to be bound up. It's not as likely to circulate into the tissue. But what can happen is we can see, you know, if we don't tell
people... We can
see
that on a blood test.
You see it on a blood test or you see it on a urine test. We do the urine test. And we will sometimes see that and we'll go, did you just have like a crab meat cocktail or something? It's like,
right.
Oh, yeah, I had it, you know.
Or a raw seafood tray or something, your oysters and things.
But it's not that bad. Then we say, okay, let's do it again when you have not had that stuff.
Right.
And then we'll get a true reading on arsenic levels.
Exactly.
It's a problem. I mean, we tend to focus on lead and cadmium and mercury. But arsenic is
up there.
Yeah.
Arsenic
so,
is
okay,
up
so
there.
So, okay, so to answer the question,
yeah.
You know, if you have occasional gluten-free bread,
yeah,
you know, that
exactly.
has some rice. And by the way, you can get gluten-free breads that are not made with rice.
And listen, not necessarily all gluten-free bread will be made with whole rice mm-hmm. or brown rice.
Right, right.
And certainly the pastas might be more made with the rice flour. You're not going to have the fiber there.
But we have something to say about gluten-free bread.
Yeah.
Right? Because people go, well, I only have gluten-free bread
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
gluten-free bagels and gluten-free muffins. What can that do to you?
Well, it can be junky. Well, first of all, too much exposure to the one grain if it's all rice-based.
Right.
Number two, a lot of gluten-free breads, because they're missing the so-called glue, that doughy, nice texture that gluten brings to a bread, that's gone. So food scientists have to add more sugar to it. Not to sweeten it. It's scientific. It's to add something called water activity or to draw moisture to it, to give it more the semblance of that spongy characteristic.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So the ingredients may not be great, or it may be higher in sugar.
Or guar gum.
Or some other kind of thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
But the other thing about it is this is a sure way to tip the scales.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it's carbs. So many carbs.
It's starchy carbs.
Yeah.
And
it's
actually,
refined.
Some of them are more carby than wheat bread.
True.
I mean, they're more caloric.
Yeah. You might be better off getting a really good peasant, nice hearth-grown baked sourdough than a gluten-free something.
So my rule of thumb is gluten-free bread is nice, but it's an occasional treat.
Right.
I don't make it I don't have like a sandwich day in and day out.
Right.
I had a sandwich on gluten-free bread today because, you know, here in Midtown, it's a little bit of a food desert. A lot of the places have closed.
That's true. The salad bars, they're not offering
The salad bars don't offer a salad
anymore.
Bar because
you know, everything is kind of boxed up. And
prepackaged.
I don't want a muffin.
Yeah.
I want my salad and my shrimp or my... You know, whatever.
So short of bringing a thermos of, you know, stew or something.
Exactly.
I made a sandwich of, turkey on gluten-free bread today. It was very good.
Very nice.
Satisfying.
So, Michael, just to come back to your question about gluten-free foods, don't have so many gluten-free foods that are processed. Eat your good quality animal protein, good all of your vegetables, all of your fruits, your nuts and seeds. Don't rely so much on
gluten-free is not
so much
paleo.
Grain.
Gluten-free is not paleo.
Gluten-free
so
is not paleo.
Inherently not paleo. So
exactly.
If you want to go paleo, say you're on the autoimmune paleo diet for an autoimmune condition.
Right. There's no grains there at all.
Yeah. So you don't really want to include that.
Exactly.
And, you know, and if you want to lose weight, don't eat a lot of yummy food.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Just have the basics.
That's true. Okay. Thank you for that very thoughtful question. All right. We have an email from Muhammad. Dear doctor, I have fibromyalgia and I have some pain.
Well, this is interesting. It's a male with fibromyalgia.
Yeah.
I think it's more like almost at least a 5-to-1 or a 10-to-1 predominance of females.
It is, right?
But males can have, I've had males with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So Muhammad has fibromyalgia and pain when moving. But
how old is Muhammad? Does he state his age?
He doesn't say.
Okay.
He doesn't say. But Dr. Hoffman, he's more interested. His main problem is not getting enough deep sleep, and he's wondering what drugs he can take.
So first of all, drugs can induce sleep.
Yeah.
But they can't reproduce sleep.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty good. I like that.
That's
so
good.
A good aphorism.
Yeah,
they can
that's
induce,
good.
But they can't reproduce.
Very good.
So, you know, they knock you out. But if you look at what's called sleep architecture, mm-hmm. which is the characteristics of sleep, you know, a good sleep is it's not quantity, it's quality.
Yes.
And a good sleep has certain characteristics. There's a certain amount of REM sleep. There's a certain amount of delta waves. There's blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
blah. And I don't know the
deep restorative delta 4 waves
yeah.
before REM.
And there's cycles yes. and so on and so forth.
Yeah. These cycles are very important.
So there's no drug that mm-hmm. replicates normal sleep. Mm-hmm. They can prevent the devastating effects of insomnia, forestall that.
Yeah.
You know, some people have terrible insomnia, so they need a medication.
Yeah.
But they don't substitute for that. So in working with insomnia, we do like a very comprehensive workup. You know, in fact, I refer people to you because you are the sleep hygiene department.
Right. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, first, besides
you're
the sleep hygiene.
You're not just the diet. You're also like,
yes.
you major in diet and you minor in sports, in exercise uh-huh. recommendations and sleep hygiene.
Right, right. The exercise prescription.
All I have to do is write sleep hygiene. Do your sleep hygiene.
Sleep hygiene. Exactly. Besides, first of all, eliminating anything in the diet that may be promoting insomnia, mm-hmm. having caffeine too late
right.
in the day, that includes things like dark chocolate and so forth, stimulating. And then the sleep hygiene part of it is start winding down a couple of hours before bedtime. Stop looking at your electronic devices. If you must, say you're an entrepreneur and the only time you have to answer any emails is 11 o'clock at night, hey, okay, understood. Put your sunglasses on. I know it sounds hokey,
yeah.
but it helps. Get those filtration devices
yep.
so that you're able
blue
to do
block.
Stuff like that.
Blue block,
exactly.
Or use the setting on the dimming
right.
setting that's also a blue block setting.
Yeah.
I have a setting that automatically at 10 o'clock goes to
yeah.
on all my devices. And on Apple devices, you can do that. Most other mm-hmm. devices, I think, have mm-hmm. that option. You do that setting.
The other thing is make sure that the bedroom is not too warm.
Right.
You want it between 60 and 68 degrees Fahrenheit. Otherwise, we don't stay asleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that keeps us in that mini hibernation,
mm-hmm.
is the cool room keeps our core temperature
right.
down a couple mm-hmm. degrees
mm-hmm.
all night.
Mm-hmm.
So we remain sleeping mm-hmm. instead of waking up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So and, you know, the natural things, you know, melatonin and, you know, we also like CBD quite a lot.
Sure.
Sure. You know, magnesium.
Insomnitol.
Theanine.
Right.
These are
theanine.
Relaxing kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
GABA for some.
German chamomile.
Now, I will point out this kind of interesting thing is, and I learned this a long time ago, you know, 25 years ago or so. I had a patient come in with very bad fibromyalgia, and he was an airline pilot. And he was young. He was about 40 or 45.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was puzzling. He said that he had insomnia. And why I say that is insomnia and fibromyalgia are related. You know, there's it's almost a hallmark of fibromyalgia that you have poor sleep quality. So we want to enhance sleep quality when you deal with fibromyalgia. What's the Occam's razor for that? Something that really hits, you know, hits the nail on the head for both of those things. Is testosterone in men. And low testosterone can cause body aching,
mm-hmm.
and it also causes sleep disturbances and light sleep. And so for this airline pilot, what we did is we put him on a good sleep regimen because he's a shift worker, and I gave him testosterone.
Mm.
And it just revolutionized his life.
Wow.
Not only did he continue as a successful pilot, but he was like head of the pilots union.
Mm-hmm.
He was just became extremely dynamic.
Mm.
And it just turned things around for him. And he was very, very happy. Brought his girlfriend in 20 years later for some problem that she had. And
mm-hmm.
I said, how are you doing? He goes, great, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, by then I lost
Wonderful.
Track of him, but he continued to get prescriptions for testosterone. Low testosterone can occur because of sleep. In impairs testosterone production.
Oh, sure, sure.
And vice versa, you
mm-hmm.
know, so it's a vicious cycle.
Right.
I don't know much about this guy. This guy gives us sketchy details, how old he is.
Right.
But he may be a candidate for testosterone. So I hope Muhammad is listening. I don't know what country he's from.
I don't know.
Because it looks from the English, it's pretty good, but it looks like he might be from a foreign country.
Sure, sure. Other causes of fibromyalgia, low vitamin D?
Possibly? Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Other reasons for low testosterone. Muhammad, if you're overweight,
yeah,
that will be one.
insulin resistance, yeah, diabetes. Yeah,
yeah.
And that can cause blood sugar problems.
Sure, sure. If you use marijuana, if you use a lot of alcohol, mm-hmm. that will do it too. Not exercising, mm-hmm. you know, because exercise is important for boosting testosterone.
Yep.
Especially something like squats. So the drugs that help enter deep sleep, yeah, it's a double-edged sword because the sleep is not deep. Mm-hmm. It's more of a knock you out, but then
sleep, yeah.
Right, right.
So we don't. So I really don't want to opine on that. And
no,
you know, but look, if he wants the expert advice on drugs, you know, go to a sleep center wherever yeah. he is, because there are places now that are mm-hmm. dedicated sleep centers where they'll do sleep studies mm-hmm. Based on the results of sleep studies. They may target certain meds. But yeah. using drugs for sleep is a little bit like throwing darts at the dartboard. You know, you just, it's like trial and error. It's like, try this, try that, try that. Oh, this works. Okay, finally. It's an art.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sometimes use, low-dose antidepressants sometimes.
Right.
For that. You know.
It also sometimes depends on the form of tryptophan. It could be just regular old L-tryptophan. Some people do better with 5-HTP, so
that's on the serotonin theory, like yeah. the SSRI medications. Yeah. Yep.
That serotonin goes on to become melatonin mm-hmm. if it's allowed to, mm-hmm. and so, yeah, that helps with that.
Well, okay, so a little dissertation on sleep. We've got to pause because we divide our podcast into two parts. What's coming up next, part two?
What ingredients should I avoid in selecting a daily multivitamin?
Ingredients to avoid in a multivitamin.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's Grist for the Mill for part two. Today with Layla Mutin, our nutritionist in residence. Radio program at AOL.com, the destination for questions. Keep them coming. We'll take more questions in just a moment. Stay with us.